as the local sort of movement around our area, how's our vision going? Rather than how are we going, how's our vision going? And the reason I ask that question is, I think in a time like this, you can do one of two things. You can either pursue the vision that God has put on your heart, or you can become distracted, perhaps a little dismayed about the situation that we're facing and lose vision. I don't think you can keep, as Revelation would reveal, keep in a place of middle ground. I think we've either got one of two choices, and that is to either pursue great vision or to sink back from the vision that God has placed on our hearts. And I want to start out this morning and just really prompt the idea that you and I are called to great vision. We're not people that are visionless. The Bible speaks clearly about how we are supposed to have open eyes to the things of God. When Jesus has revealed himself to us, as the Spirit has come on us, we are called to have the vision that God would give. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd love you to open up to Proverbs 29, verse 18. It's perhaps one of the most abused verses in the Bible, as well as perhaps one of the best verses. Oh, look at this. I have my dog joining me. You can see him. Hello, dog. Hello, Bobby. He loves to come and hang out with me. Get on your mat, please. Oopsie, on your mat. If you've got Bibles open, would somebody, oh, you're on mute, so I should do the reading, and I suppose. Let me read this to us. It says this, Proverbs 29, 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'll also read from the King James. In the New Living, it says this: when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Again, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. In the King James, it says this: where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the NIV, it talks about those that keep the law have joy. The reality is of this verse is that it's a prophetic word coming from the prophet himself, saying to the people, if you do not have the vision that God has set before you, the law that God has set before you, if you're not encouraged by it and if you're not living in it, you will run amok. And right now, I think our world is running amok. I think people without the vision that God has placed, the truth of the word of God on their heart, they run amok. And I think for the church at this time, it's important that we come back to what it is that God has placed on our hearts. When the vision came to Isaiah about what it meant to be the people of God, he spoke to the people of Jerusalem and he said to them, he said, listen, you have lost your way. You have lost what it means to obey the law of God. You have allowed what Moses speaks about, which is do not allow the entrapments of the world to come and grab you and wrestle you away from what God has first given. I'm a little distracted with you there, Cohen. Sorry. Love. When you're wrestled away from what God has placed before you and distracted by the things of this world, it is easy to lose vision. And in that space, we perish. We lack the vitality that we need to have. When we have a look at this particular passage, there is so much that could be said about it, but I just want to actually point out a few things. First of all, when you see what book it comes from, so it comes from the book of Proverbs. Can we have at least somebody answer this question? Because I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I'll answer for you, Rick.
Okay, thanks, Joel. All right, brilliant. Hey, listen, so what is the book of Proverbs all about?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. And where do you get that idea from, Joel?
Because it says it's the sayings of the wise, I
It's the
think.
sayings of the wise. If we go to actually go to Proverbs verse, chapter one, you want to read it out while you're there for us, Joel.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter one. Go to that and read verses 2 to 6 for us.
Okay. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles.
Absolutely. And then verse 7 finally says this. He lays it out for us. So Joel, verse 7 says this.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
All right. And so when Solomon writes this particular proverb, he writes it and he says, listen, there is wisdom to be had and there is vision to be had, but it is found within the law of God. In Colossians, you'll find, if you have a look in Colossians for us, if you can quickly turn to Colossians, you'll find for us there. Oops, let me go. Sorry. Colossians, Romans, and even Ephesians have the same idea, but Colossians 1:26, let me turn to that for us. Colossians 1:26, if you've got your Bibles there, turn it open. I'm getting there. Hey, gone too far. If anybody else has got it, they can read it out for us. Colossians 1:26.
The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints.
And who is that mystery, anyone? Who is the mystery that's been revealed to us?
Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jesus indeed. Absolutely. Jesus indeed. So here it is. We have been given vision. Vision is the people of God. When it used to be spoken, it was the vision of the prophets. The prophets would reveal the law of God to the people. For wisdom to be maintained, it had to be obeyed. For wisdom to be maintained, it had to be obeyed. For vision to be cast, it had to be listened to. The vision came through the prophets, those that spoke directly with God. In Colossians, it reveals to us that we, the people of God that have given our lives to Christ Jesus as the one and only way to know God, we have now been empowered with the ability to know what God wants. We've been given the Spirit of God so that we can see what God wants, not so that we can find our own way. So often in the church, so often in my own personal life, so often the case is that I'm seeking my own good idea. Quick question for anyone to answer. What is your vision for your life in the time of COVID? Anybody? You can put your hand up and I don't know how to unmute you, so somebody will have to do that.
To keep focused on Christ.
To keep focused on Christ. Okay.
Put it in first.
There's a lot of noise out there.
To love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength.
To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yep. Anybody else?
To know God.
To know God. Okay. Anybody else? No, that's okay. So my question is this. How then, as the people of God, do we find our fit within the community of God in our own unique ways? So often, what I find within my own life is that I have good aspirations about being godly or following God or listening to God or knowing God, and yet it is not defined in a way that shows me my place and my fit. Now, I cannot go outside the Word of God to find my place and my fit within this world. I cannot go outside the Word of God and the culminative effect of the Spirit of God in that Word to find my place and my fit and therefore my vision for my life in this world, particularly amongst the people of God. And so if I was to ask you guys that have responded already, guys and girls, that you've already responded, what is your particular vision? Because what you've commented on and what you've said is all very true. To love God, Joel said, with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Daniel said, to know God. And they're all very good. But then how does that then look for you as the individual? Because if I'm correct in assuming this, we are all uniquely, individually different. While we are cumulatively produced as the church around a vision for the church, we all uniquely bring gifts and talents. So if I was to go back to you and say, what is your unique vision then during this time of COVID? What is your unique vision? Do you have one?
I think often we give the Christian answer when we answered a question before, but I think the reality is we actually probably, when we're praying for guidance in this time, it's a lot of me-centered prayers. Like, it's not, what do you want from me, God? It's, God, help me with this situation, or help me to know what I should do out of these two options I'm giving you. instead of saying, God, please show me what you want me to do. I think that's something I need to do for myself a bit more.
Yep, sure. Thanks, Joel. Others?
No, I agree with Joel 100% on that.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Joel. I guess I think specifically for me, just to keep a regular habit of being in the Word and studying it. And the other week I was looking at, I think it was a thing from John Piper talking about meditating on the Word.
Yep.
And I find I don't spend enough time actually going through the passages and having a look at, okay, what does this mean and how does this apply to me?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, we've got this idea that we know how to access vision. It is really not rocket science to access God's vision, is it? I mean, for me personally, I think particularly during this time, it's an important time for us to actually be gathering up all the resources of the kingdom for the vision that God would have. Because I don't think God is ever visionless. I don't think God is ever purposeless in what he does. And therefore, I think for ourselves, we cannot be purposeless. So I'm a little distracted. I've got things in the background. So so things would be children, by the way. Sorry. So the reality is for all of us, we have been given the Word of God. We have been given the Spirit of God, but we've also been given the people of God. I think if I was to be honest, I think often what we tend to do is we meditate on the vision that God would have for us individually by ourselves. Yet it's only when we live amongst community, only when we live amongst others that our vision can be truly be made clear, because people need to be able to say yes and amen to the things that God is doing in our lives. Things need to be seen and things need to be understood. And so therefore we all have to find a place of both personal commitment to the Word, spiritual life of prayer, and therefore connected life with others. And the connected with life with others is not so much about people judging us, but it is about people saying yes and amen to the vision that God has placed on our hearts. And so therefore we need to continue with connecting. Connecting amongst the people of God was for one of two purposes. First of all, to avoid sin, to avoid the things that entrap us, to be open and vulnerable enough to have others be able to speak into our lives about the things that God would speak against. It's not a prophetic word necessarily, but it's a biblical word. It's a gospel word. And therefore, in that sense, I suppose it is a spirit-filled word from others. Secondly, it's to embolden and empower people with the gifts that God has given them, to continue to say yes and amen, but also give them opportunity to be able to use those gifts and talents to seek the vision that God has given them individually. And so therefore, when you have that culminative effect amongst the people of God, it goes towards a vision God has given the church. Now, if I was to ask anybody, what is the vision of the church, the biblical vision of the church, what is the biblical vision for the church? Anybody?
To spread the word of God, basically, but in a more prolonged sense, Jesus literally wants us to spread it throughout the world so that basically every single part of the world is already heard, basically, because he said in the God in the Acts, I think, something about going throughout Samaria and then throughout all creation sort of thing when he ascended to heaven again.
Yeah, yeah.
And act as a body, as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
You're a crazy one. To actually love one another.
Joel, don't be crazy.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's not easy, that one.
No, so but it's possible.
I think if you were to say, that what's the biblical vision of the church, the whole church, it's to go and make disciples, yeah? To spread the word of God. The purpose of the church is to reveal the glory of God. I mean, it's to invite others into that glory, into that space. And I think for many of us, we understand that. But then if I was to ask, what is the perspective, what is the vision for the local church, for the individual churches that are part of the church, the broader vision of what the church is, what is the individual purpose of the local church? Is it any different?
Perhaps it's also for the local church, it's more to do with pastoring the local people, I suppose.
Okay. Anybody else?
No. I believe it's engaging with the local community about and spreading the gospel of Christ.
Absolutely. It's exactly the same, but done on a local setting. But here's the thing. The local church is made up of individuals like you and me. It is made up of our gifts, our talents, and our visions. And so if we as individuals are visionless, if we don't have perspective of who we are and the vision that God has placed on our heart as the people of God, then it becomes very hard for the local church then to be able to do the visioning for us. We make up the church. The individual makes up the church. It's not that we are separated out, and that doesn't mean that we don't get along. It just means that God has put on each one of us gifts and talents that will be specifically used for his vision for us individually. And so the broader picture of the vision of God is not just one that is broad and out there, the idea that it's go spread the gospel and as simply as that. It also has to have an individual vision from each person. So I want to ask a question. Does anybody have pen and paper near them? Anybody got pen and paper?
Yes.
Okay, grab your pen, grab a piece of paper. I'm going to draw some lines. I want you to draw these lines. If you've got pen and paper, you can just have a look.
I have a whiteboard and a whiteboard marker as well.
Oh, go crazy. You go, you do that then. Oh, yeah, do that, do that.
Oh, so I want a whiteboard.
I'm going to use a whiteboard next time.
Be a teacher.
So I want you, really unclear. Yep, draw two lines. Can you draw two lines like that? Narrow to wide. I can do it this way even. I can't really see what I'm doing with my screen. So narrow to wide. Okay. And then what we're going to do next is we're going to write here vision. Oh, that's back to front now, isn't it? I've got to write that back to front.
I got it.
The word is vision.
Done.
I can't write back to front. How's that? Oh, Joel can. Did you write that back to front, Joel?
Maybe. No. I just screwed up. But that's okay.
It's not back to front. No, it's fine from now.
Can you see it okay?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's me. It's back to front for me. Yeah, okay. That's okay. Next. So can I ask a quick question? If I was to ask you to say, what is vision?
It's like a goal.
A goal? Yeah.
Looking toward a goal very narrowly.
Looking towards a goal? Yeah. It is somewhat narrow. It gets narrow. The wide roads look like that when you look from a distance, right? They look further away. They look narrower. The closer you get, the wider it seems. Yeah. So a vision actually is always very somewhat blurry. The further you are away from the vision that God has for your life, the more blurry it is. Can I say to those people that have been walking with God longer, the vision that God puts on your heart should become clearer and clearer as you get older, as you spend more time in God, as you commune with God, as you commune with others, the vision should become clearer. Because vision, according to scriptures, is obedience to the law. It's not just obedience to anything. It's not just listening to anybody's good ideas. It's obedience to God. And as Colossians says, as Romans says, as Ephesians says, it is found in Christ Jesus. For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, as we grow closer to him, as we understand him more, as we know his word more, as we know the spirit more, our vision should become clearer the closer we come. But here's the thing, if all we have is vision, sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked. So how do we avoid being sidetracked according to the word of God? How do we avoid being sidetracked? Don't just say reading the Bible and prayer. I mean, yes, absolutely. But what does the Bible talk about? Can I write down a couple of things for you? I'm going to write over here. I'll write it this way. Now, this may feel like a bit of a... Oh, I can spell values. This may feel a bit like... Can I get you to write purpose and values on your piece of paper if you've got one? Purpose and values. Purpose and values. Joel's so good. Anybody would think he's a teacher. And he's got neat handwriting. Purpose and values. I want to say this. God has placed his vision for each person, for the local church, for the grander picture of the whole church amongst two ideas, purpose and values. If our vision as an individual, as the local church, as the church, is to reach people for Christ or to know God more, we've got to have both values and purpose to go for that goal. What is the purpose of attaining? I'll ask this of anyone. What is the purpose of knowing God more?
So that we can worship him better. So that we can worship him better, but also if we know God more, it's also for our benefit because we learn to trust him more. And therefore, if we trust him more, we'll have the ability to like be more, I guess, not just peaceful, but be more Christ-like in this world as well, which means other people can see us and their seeds can be sown into other people and thus spread the word and achieve the vision into a reality at the same time.
Less of us, more of God.
Yeah.
So we empty ourselves. Yeah. It's dying to self. Absolutely. I bet like we could give it.
Putting us down so he can go higher sort of thing.
Yeah. Daniel, since you raised that one of knowing God more, why would you say is the purpose of knowing him more for you?
I would say the immediate driver is more fear. Because if we look at the verse, it says, God's would say to people at the end, you know, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yep.
Then I don't want to be one of those people who didn't know God and thought that they did.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Have you noticed that with one question, like to know God more, we've had like three different answers around the similar idea, but again, three different understandings of why we can know God. See, knowing God is a broad perspective. Knowing God is good for all of us, but we all have our reasonings, our understanding of why God would want us to know him more. And that may change over time. But when we get clear on the vision that God has for us individually, our purposes become far easier to define. Put it this way. For me, as an individual, one of the things that I live by, one of the things that God has placed on my heart, one of the visions God has given me is the same vision that he gave Peter. When he speaks to Peter on the beach after his resurrection and asks him, you know, do you love me? Yeah. He says, yes, Lord. He goes, who do you say I am then? And he says, you're the Savior. You're the Lord. You're the Messiah. And he goes, on this foundation, I will build my church. Yes. And he goes on to say this. He says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. One of the foundations for my life, one of the visions that God has given me in my life is to fight against the gates of hell, to actually come against and oppose the things that aren't of God. That's what God has given me. But now, why would I want to do that? Anybody, why would you want to fight against the things that Satan has put in this world? Any ideas?
Because, like, I suppose if we fight against what Satan has put in the world, it'll be easier to, I guess, try and connect with others so we can spread the word, but also we can live a life more worthy of God, because whatever Satan has placed in this world, it isn't just meant to like distract us with all those worldly things, but it's also meant to drag us out of our Christian life. So if we fight back against it, it'll be easier to stand up for God, I suppose.
Okay. Anybody else?
It's what Jesus did. It said the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. Mm. So when we preach Christ, that's what we do. We destroy the works of the devil. And that's kingdom. That's what we do when we preach a whole nother kingdom.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, I suppose the purpose that I see in it is to ultimately, the purpose is to reveal the kingdom of God and the truth of who God is and the work of his kingdom for others to see. When we come against, when we oppose, when we fight for justice, when we look for mercy, when we do the things that this world is so corrupted by, when we look for the same things that the world...
Church, can I call you later about...
Oh, I missed all that. Did anybody else get that?
I think she was talking to someone else. She said I'll call you later or something.
Okay.
Actually, okay. I have one more. For the thing you said before, but is it also because we fight back because it's also our mission, because it's something to do with tearing down the strongholds and all that stuff, like against the principalities and all that stuff that the verse said?
Absolutely. And I think again, it's this idea that any vision that we have, any idea of the vision that God would place on our hearts has to be found in Scripture. It can't be found anywhere else. And so for me as an individual, I can't grab an idea of I want to be a multimillionaire for the purposes of being rich. If God placed it on my capacity, say, to have the vision to create money, what would my purpose be as a Christian? What should my purpose be as a Christian?
To use that money to help the church grow, either by building a church or helping others, but also to use the influence of being rich to point, like, that your wealth doesn't come from you, but to God. So basically, you are an influence leader.
Okay. Perhaps, Daniel, were you going to say something? No?
Yeah, I was going to say something similar to Davin, actually, I mean, whatever we have a vision for getting, if it's not going to be used in some way for the kingdom, you know, for teaching people about God, for sharing the gospel or something like that, for helping people, then it's probably not from God.
Yeah, that's right. It's about generosity, isn't it? In the end, we're called to have a generous spirit. And so it would be about generosity for the sake of the kingdom. And so for every vision that we're given, it's supposed to come from the word of God. It is not something that we can make up in our own head, and it cannot be something that we divine for ourselves. It's a prophetic word that comes to us that is revealed through the word of God, through the spirit of God, and embodied by the people of God around us. Now, if I was to ask you, each of you know each other probably much better than I do. Let's pick on someone who I don't have everyone on screen, so let me just scroll across to, okay. Who can I pick on? Let's pick on Peter. Can we pick on you for a second? So, okay, nod your head for a second if you're okay with being picked on. Not properly picked on, by the way. Nicely picked on. I want to ask a question. Right, that's all right? Okay. Can I ask a question? What are Peter's gifts? Church.
Depends on the day.
Well, I'm not asking you, Peter. I'm asking the church. You can't answer this. The church needs to know you.
I'm gonna answer. I think other than being incredibly handsome,
I'm wearing good hats.
I think he has a gift of mercy.
Generosity.
Peter has a gift of where he really consider. Look at how that's outworked in his street ministry.
That's right.
That's
okay. And the way you can connect with people on the streets, like when empathy. I've been there with you, it's just incredible. Yeah. Like they've got you build up real relationship with people. You're able to, and there's like that mercy kind of connects with people in a really profound way, and it's turned into a whole ministry. So, and you're incredibly handsome, especially when you wear that thing on your head.
It's awesome. Well, if I was to ask a question then, opposing that, what isn't Peter gifted at? Oh, the silence.
Dancing.
We can do all things through Christ. What is Peter not gifted at? What are not his gifts?
Fashion sense.
Oh.
I rather like his Russian hat, though.
Yeah, me too. I dig it.
And staying out of the fridge, I'm definitely not gifted in that.
I can add to this. So okay, I think like I said before, because I've talked you up so much, maybe I can talk you down a little bit as well. Pete, I think maybe like when we're at the street ministry together, and that guy asked a tricky question about the Bible, and you asked him to come to me. I think maybe that's something that that was good that we could use different gifts. Like it's like that I've got a gift in where I can. Help with those tricky questions that people raise. And so that was maybe one area.
The reality of the body of Christ is to actually embody the vision that God would have for us. To know that, we've got to know each other and to know what it looks like. If Peter came to us and said, hey, listen, I'm thinking of going to Bible college, I think every single one of us would probably say, great idea, have a go, right? But I think when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of it, God has empowered individuals with individual gifting. And that individual gifting should lead to an individual vision for that person. And particularly during a time like COVID, I want to wrap this up, particularly during a time like COVID, we need to know what the individual empowerment of the Spirit of God in our lives means for our vision. For me, My purpose is to tear down cultural beliefs and cultural circumstances that lead away from the kingdom of God. I always oppose things that are not kingdom orientated, when they become individualistic in a sense of this is about me and my ideas around the kingdom. If it's not aligned with the scriptures, that's what frustrates me. And I think often I become somebody that would be known as an agitator. Okay. We know what agitating is. Does everyone understand? You get flour, put it in a sifter, you go backwards and forwards with it. You can't see my hands.
Is it someone that pretty much just pushes people in a way that makes them feel slightly anxious, but also angry at times?
Yeah, for sure. I would say yes. I want to quickly go back to that drawing. I want to show you the values. So have a look at your values. Each one of us has kingdom values. What are some of our kingdom values? Gary, what are some of your kingdom values? I'd love to hear from the pastor. No? Kingdom values? Can you hear me?
Oh, Gary, you're on mute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see him.
They're on mute. And find him. Yeah.
Wait for it.
Wait, it's coming. Sorry
for my mute. Oh, no, I still can't hear him. He's coming. No,
it's still on mute.
He's okay. Still on mute.
Okay, we'll go to somebody else. Once Gary's off, we'll get him to have a
okay.
Somebody else. Kingdom values.
Kingdom values. I'd say, I guess, a big one is integrity.
Right. Others. Pick a perhaps, verse.
Oh, someone else.
No. Pick a verse. Somebody.
Oh, wait.
I would say the fruit of the Spirit, love, kindness, gentleness.
Yep. Fruits of the Spirit.
God speaks about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. The fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, lovely. Gary, kingdom values. What are some of your kingdom values?
Very, very strong. Very sort of strong thing. Sort of things is that just integrity and just being real.
Yep.
You know, honesty with the whole thing. And again, you know, through the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. But they flow out to basically wanting to see people reach their potential. So I think that's sort of really high in, you know, promoting, trying to promote others and just lifting others and wanting people to really see, you know. So that's my a lot of my prayers are motivated by wanting people to really see Christ and who he is. And out of that, you know, obviously that comes from, you know, to know him and making him known.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the very, very strong vision that God gave us for our church is that early days was being a house refreshing to touch the nations of the earth. And we're endeavoring to do that. At the same time, we are positioning people to accomplish the task. You know, that's really our goal. That's sort of operated through you know, just for me personally, I'm obviously a pastor, so love and acceptance, truth is an incredible value, you know, to
absolutely. I tend to tattoo things on myself when I feel strongly enough about them, which is kind of crazy. I know to many people tattoos aren't appropriate, but I really believe to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God is one of the I think that's a foundation for some of the values that we hold as the church. But I want to incline our hearts a little bit towards ourselves as individuals this morning, and I want us to just quickly finish up here. At the end of the day, if you as an individual don't have an understanding of who you are created in Christ Jesus fully, and therefore having a vision for what God has called you to, then what ends up happening is you float around following everybody else's good ideas. And they may be very good ideas for them, but at the end of the day, it makes it very hard for you to find your fit amongst the people of God. Unless we know the vision that God has placed on us individually, it makes it very hard for us to be able to then join the vision of the local church or to join the vision of the global church. We find ourselves stuck following one way or another instead of actually finding what it is that God has placed on us, because then we find our feet. I think so often, if you have a look at how many local churches there are, or how many denominations there are, the reason for that is people are trying to find their fit instead of knowing who they are in Christ Jesus and the vision that God has placed within them so they can join with those that are embracing a similar vision. The local church is meant to aim for something. It's not meant to be an aimless place. And as Gary's already stated, it's got a vision, it's got a purpose. And so therefore, as individuals, we're meant to join in with that, with the gifting and the vision that God has placed on our hearts. But here's the thing. We don't get to decide that vision for ourselves. We don't get to decide whether it's good or whether it's just for ourselves. We actually have seen what happens throughout humanity when we decide for ourselves what is good and what is just. It becomes corrupted and it becomes skewed and it ends up somewhere else other than where God intended it to be. Because we know there is only one who is good at judging what is good. There is only one that understands where we are meant to be heading, and that is God himself. And unfortunately, when we don't follow the vision of God, we either hurt ourselves or we hurt others around us, or we do both. And in that process, it can be as simple as letting somebody down because it's not our passion. And then we say yes, yes, and then it ends up being no, no. Unfortunately for us, the reality of all this is that we must place our values and our vision and our purpose on God's law. It's got to be based on his law and his character. And unless it's based on that, we find ourselves to either wander away, causing trouble, we become stagnant as Christians. Right now, in COVID, the church should not be stagnant. The church should not be a place of people who are frightened and fear-filled. I'm not saying there isn't certain fears around. I want to quickly outline a couple of things, and then I'm stopping. Over this past time of COVID lockdown, my dad was... I had a phone call one night and I was told he had 24 to 48 hours to live. Praise God, that's not the case. But that was happening during COVID. My marriage has had to be worked on. I've lost work. I think for all of us, we're facing troubles and torment. But the one thing that I do know that during this time is that God has clarified and made clear the vision that he places on my heart. And so I want to ask the question of you this morning. What is the vision that God has placed on your heart? What is the vision that comes from the word of God about who you are? As I said, one of my values is to agitate things. It can be a positive thing, but it can also be a very negative thing. But if I move away from agitating things, I become frustrated because my belief is that I'm called to rally against the gates of hell. And so if I'm called to that, I must agitate in ways that outlines that, highlights that. And at times that leaves people frustrated, angry, disappointed. But that's the vision that God has given me. And so, therefore, I also believe that he places others around me who are peacemakers. When I work with people, I need to work with peacemakers because my vision, individually, only has a small reach. But with others, it becomes a much bigger reach. And so I want to say to you this morning, if you don't have a clear vision of what God has called you as the individual to, then how is it then that you embody the vision of the local church to then apply that vision? It's not just a matter of knowing your gifts. Who here is gifted at cooking? Who's a gifted cook? Vanessa's smiling. Oh, Vanessa, can you cook us something?
Mary is. She's not talking up, but she's a good cook.
Gift to cooks.
I can confirm that. Yeah.
Peter Townsend, also another gift. He made the most fried chicken I've ever seen. Yeah.
What do you make, Vanessa?
Me? A lot of like chicken, because I only eat chicken. So a lot of chicken stir fries I eat.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Right. I love to bake, like baking as well. Baking's good. One of my favorites.
Cake baking, are we talking about here?
Sorry?
Cake baking?
Cake baking, cupcake making, cookie baking, yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. So we know we're never going to go short on a church family picnic anyway.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If it's just the gift without a vision for the gift, what is the point?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If it's just a gift, if we just like it,
yeah,
we don't have a purpose. And if we don't have a purpose, we've got a gift. Mm. If there's an individual gift, we've got to also have a vision for that gift, and therefore we've got to have a purpose for that gift, and therefore we've got to hold values to maintain that gift. Because without purpose and values, we drift away and we stop worrying about the gift that we've been given or the vision that we've been given. And right now during COVID, a lot of people have lost their vision because they're not focusing on the values and the purpose that God has given them. And so I think for each one of us, we need to stop and reflect during this time. What is the vision that God has given me? What is the vision that he's given the Berman family? What is the vision that he's given Daniel? What's the vision that he's given Vanita? What's the vision that he's done with Mary, Jacob, for all of you? What is the vision for Peter? What is the vision so that when we come together, we have values and purpose that drive us to build the kingdom of God together around the vision of the local church? And therefore, the local church empowers the body of Christ as the global church. Visionless people cast off restraint. Visionless people perish. Visionless people have no joy, depending on which translation you go to. But that vision has to be found in the Word of God, amongst the people of God, embodied by the Spirit of God in us through the gifts that he has given us. Vision is so important. And right now during COVID, there are so many people wandering around going, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am. I don't have work. I don't have this. I don't have that. My distractions are gone. What happened to the people of God when they got to the promised land is they got distracted. And they lost sight of God. And so he sends his prophets to say, hey, you've lost sight, and I am going to lead you to rack and ruin so that you would come back to me, so that there would be a people who would be seeking God. And so I say this, seek God individually. Find your vision. Find your place and your fit amongst the community of God with that passion, that vision, those gifts. Go with your local church, your local setting of community of what it means to be the people of God to reach the world amongst the global church. We have a vision. The vision is clear. The vision is Jesus and his kingdom. But you and I have to add to that with the gifts and talents and the passions and the purpose and the values that God has given each one of us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we have questions? Gary, have we got time for questions? Have I gone so long? Was that like 45? I can't do 15 minutes, mate. I'm so sorry. Gary's gone to sleep. He's asleep on the couch.
No, he's gone to the bathroom.
I'll give you time for questions since Gary's not here. Any questions, anyone?
Oh, I like that.
Nah.
Here he is. He's back.
Sorry, mate.
I thought you'd fallen asleep.
That was really so wonderful, Pastor Rick.
No.
I don't know whether it was wonderful. It was. I find this really hard to do, to be honest. Zoom talking.
Yes, it is hard.
It can be a challenge, but we're all getting through it.
Yeah, that's it.
No, it's great what you're saying, mate. Really appreciate it. You know.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Rick.
You know, vision basically of any pastoral sort of team. You know, there's foresight, insight, and oversight. Obviously, you know. Mm. You know, placing people in different positions and all that kind of stuff, you know. I found for me personally, what you're saying, that the little diagram was rather interesting, you know, vision at the top and your values and all that sort of thing, forming that. Because over the years, I've been around for a long time, there's a convergence of a narrowing of your vision,
Absolutely. What
you actually want to accomplish. And I think also there's it's sort of more clearly defined as you sort of, you know, get older, but also it's clearly defined too, I think, in the stages of life.
Absolutely.
You know, early on we found that there were so many things that God allowed us personally to do, you know, with evangelism through the nation and all that kind of thing. And then God specifically called us to pastoral sort of ministry. And that whole thing of oversight. And then I find that with the broader perspective, we started pastoring pastors, and then we've done that internationally, you know, and which is a really, really wonderful thing. And even for us right now, you know, to establish the team around us, I think one of the gifts that God has given us is to be able to see gifting in other people. You know, you're saying, you know, what did Peter do? You know, Peter, he's got, obviously there's gifts of mercy, there's gifts of help, you know, all those kinds of things that, you know, and there's organizational skills there to, you know, to help put a team around him, you know, that to provide mercy and care for others. So there's there's mercy, but with that you can see, I think the more you hang out with people, you know, that what you're saying there, the more you hang out with people, the more that you see their obvious gifting. You see how people function within that, within a community. So you're not trying to just, you know, you're talking about individual vision. I think part of our responsibility is not, you know, yes, it can be, but there's a sense of a prophetic, you know, seeing a particular gift in people. But it becomes obvious when you're in a group of people constantly. There's an obvious view of their gifting. Yep. So as as their faithfulness within the church structure, I'm talking about, you know, our greater vision is for outside the walls of the church.
Yes, absolutely.
But within the church structure, you know, as you're together. You know, you see people, you see different gifts come to the fore. You see within their personalities, the traits that and then as a pastoral responsibility, then to encourage them to sort of fulfill their call, you know. Mm-hmm. But there also needs to be, and I love what you were sharing with the whole thing of values and all that kind of thing, you know, for people to really be faithful in that. And God calls us to be faithful, well done, good and faithful, you know.
Yep.
So people can have a particular gift, but they have no discipline within their life. So they actually abort what God can do through their life, you know, and their witness and their becomes, you know, sort of a bit tainted. I think with all kind of leadership and all gifting, we rub off on each other. So we want to represent Christ that in a sense we're becoming more like Christ. So, you know, within the teaching ministry of the church, you know, I'm protective of who she is within the context of the church, because it's not even so much the words that we say, but it's the heart that we convey that people pick up over the years. And so people become like the word that is coming from the church, you know. So that's a sense of the real values to sort of really push that church forward, to build this sort of team, a bigger and larger team that, you know, eventually we can sort of push that further. So, you know, you find within a church there'll be certain people who are, you know, you obviously have the gift of evangelism as well on your life, you know, which is that's really cool. So you'll find people will gravitate toward that. I believe fivefold ministry, you know, the whole thing of evangelism, the gift of evangelists in the church is basically to teach evangelism to people. It's certainly to do evangelism, but it's also to teach and show people and instruct them with the ability, how do they personally do evangelism?
Yeah.
You know, so all those fivefold gifts, they flow out so the body might become mature, that might find that really who they are. But, you know, it comes down, really comes down to if we want to be used of God. Again, values is such an important thing. It's who you are, how we represent Christ,
integrity,
and, you know, all those things. You know, I was thinking of Daniel mentioned before about Lord, you know, haven't we done all this? Excuse me, haven't we prophesied? Haven't we done all this sort of thing? And it's really interesting in that concept, because what Jesus is saying is basically, you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk. You know, so there's, and again, you know, you sort of spoke about it today. It was just, I love that whole thing. It's the obedience in that, you know, the obedience to the call and the obedience to the law of God. I think that's really fantastic. I love what you had to say about the gates. I think that was really, really great. It reminded me, actually, the call even to Abraham was to possess the gates.
Yep.
And then later on that's given to the church, you know. Yeah, and to have that kind of authority, have kingdom authority to, you know, to go beyond that, to break down those barriers. Interesting how that the Gates don't move, but the church does. You know, so the church needs to be people who are advancing. We need to be people who are growing. We need to have a heart that hurts, that hurts Jesus and feels like Jesus. You know, I think there's a passage in Proverbs. It's really the Proverbs. I can't. No, it's actually in Job. I think 20. You just caught me off-handed, but it says, speaking about, do you hear the cry of the city?
Mm.
It's a really interesting little passage. I think it's somewhere about chapter 20. Do you hear the cry of the city? And often how you discern how you hear that cry is how you will respond. Like some people might hear the cry of the city with food crisis, social crisis, education crisis. Yeah, so there's all these different aspects the way we will discern and hear that cry, which is, speaks about our gifting and how to respond. It's rather interesting.
Yeah. And I think the thing about vision for all of us is that it is always in front of us. I don't think we ever fully attain. Told that this kingdom that is seen and revealed in Christ Jesus won't be seen it fully until the day of his return. And so it is always in front of us. There is always a vision in front of us. And the attitude of I can't make it often defeats us. I'm never going to get there. And because it is in front of us. But again, if we have values and if we know our purpose for going for a vision, we tend to continue further forward. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage us as the church this morning that COVID is not a time of, definitely not a time of complacency. I think there is war to be fought still. We are called to armor up every day. Because a lot of our battles at the moment are our own minds, our own circumstances and situations, because ultimately we're kind of stuck in many ways. But we are still called to advance against the gates of hell. We are still called to advance, whether that's personally, whether that's as a family, in our own lives as a family, or whether that's to continue to try and meet the social needs around us or whatever it is. Our vision is still there. And so we've got to know why we bother. And then when you know why you bother doing that, you got to know what makes that work. I mean, I think at the end, I want to change something here and say, you know, let's not call it vision. Let's call it calling. What is the calling that is placed on your life? What is the calling placed on the local church? What is the calling? Because at the end of the day, it's not us making it up. It's God calling us to something. And so you are called individually to something. And so if you speak to each other throughout the week, you know, wrestle with the idea of what is the gift that you have? What is the purpose that you have? What is the calling that you have? And why? What do you value? What are the values that are going to make you hold to that calling? For me, a lot of my stuff relates to a battle. And I think if you think about the idea of the military, you start as a private and you can end up as a colonel.
That's right.
It's a place of movement, I suppose, to go from a private to a commander. And I think we progress in our position as the people of God, but our calling never changes. Yeah.
It's excellent.
Because we mature, right? We're called to mature. And so I want to always have the heart of a private. I admit that. I want to have the heart of, I want to be able to be boots on the ground kind of person. I think when you start moving away from the heart of a private, you start becoming someone who's all about the valor of the badge that you wear, rather than the calling that you have. And so I encourage you, maintain the heart of humility, but always look to see a further picture of what God would call you to with your gifting. And allow others to speak that into your life throughout the week. Anyway, God bless you guys. I'm going to stop and shut up and
And mate, it's fantastic. Yeah. Just, yeah, thank you so much, mate.
Yeah, thank you. That was
great. Just say, you know, just.